All right, let's turn our attention to John chapter 16, and then we're going to also read a portion out of John chapter 14 and try to take a few thoughts in the time that we have this morning, the Holy Ghost. Third person, as we designate him, of the Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And yes, we were referencing out of Matthew chapter 12, last Lord's Day, the reverence that is due unto all three. There is a sense in which the Holy Ghost is reverenced more than Jesus as the Son of Man. And I want to emphasize that, as the Son of Man. For in that 12th chapter, he says that all offenses against the Son of Man will be pardoned, forgiven. But he that sins against the Holy Ghost shall never, it'll never be forgiven, neither in this world nor in the one to come. And again, we may not know everything about what that means, but we do know this, that it is a serious matter. We do know this, it is something that you do not want to do. But how do you avoid it? And the answer is, you reverence God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You reverence them. And how thankful ought we to be that God sends the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. And so we read in John chapter 16, in verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." What does the word expedient mean? It's a good thing, necessary now, at the present. It's a good and necessary thing for you that I go away. Now, isn't that a, can you really place yourself in the place of those disciples? When he said that, and they're wondering, you know, how could it be better for you to go away and not be with us here? Have you ever wished that Jesus would be here? What do you think? That Jesus would come into the presence, our presence right here? But what Jesus is saying, he's saying to you and to me, to us today, is that it's better that I be where I am and that the Holy Ghost be with you. Why? Yeah. Because he is going to be our comforter. Capital C. We talk about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, especially, you know, we're always emphasizing whether it's a capital S or a small S. But Jesus says, in referring to the Holy Ghost, he said, he's your comforter. He's, that's a capital C. He is, in other words, he is the comforter. There is no other comforter but the Holy Ghost himself. But we go on in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That's how good and how necessary it is that the Holy Ghost come and be in us and among us. Verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, we probably ought to one of these days go back and really look at these three verses of Scripture right here and understand what he means, but we can't do it all at one time, can we? So we go on. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, first of all, this is the Spirit of Christ here, isn't it? What did Jesus say that he taught? He did not teach the things that were his own, but he just taught that which he received from the Father, right? And if we are faithful, as we are faithful, that's what we do. We do not speak of ourselves, we speak of the Word of God. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Now back over in chapter 14, of course this is that wonderful chapter where he talks about going to the Father and preparing a place, right? Preparing a place for us and then assuring us that where he is, there we will be also. But we'll pick this up, I don't know where to start. I guess we'll just verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then he says, if ye love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for a long time.
Yeah.
Huh?
Longer than that?
Well, forever is a long time, isn't it? He's going to abide with us forever. Now, what does that mean? If you die, is he going to depart from you? No. He's going to be right there. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father, and the Spirit of the Son, he's going to be right there with us. If you love me, keep my commandment, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit. And there's that capital S again, isn't it? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. Now, first of all, when is Jesus saying these things? Is this after he ascended into heaven? No. But I thought the Holy Ghost wasn't given until the day of Pentecost. It had to be given here, wasn't it? It had to be, because he says, that he dwelled in. He said he dwelleth. Is that present tense? He dwelleth with you and shall be with you. Now, again, the Pentecostals claim you've got to be baptized with the Spirit and all of those things. And we're going to be talking about when and how you receive the Holy Ghost. But in essence, you receive the Holy Ghost when you are born of the Holy Ghost, conceived and born of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God.
He may not have known what had happened, just like the day you
were. Let me digress here a little bit. Have you ever wondered, well, why is he called the Holy Ghost? Why is he referred to as a ghost? Yeah, he is the Spirit. He's not physical, is he? Pardon? No, he's not substance, he's Spirit. The only one that became substance then was Christ. I'm talking about that they could feel with their hands, look upon with their eyes. That's the only one of the three, right? But he also is referred, I believe, to as the Holy Ghost, because as Jesus said in the third chapter of this Gospel of John, the wind does what? Yeah, it blows where it wills, and you don't, do you see it? You don't see the wind, you see the effects of the wind, but you cannot see the wind.
Huh? That's amazing.
Yeah, especially considering the power of it. If you don't believe there's power in it, just wait till the next hurricane comes through and get out there in it and see how that works out, as they say in today. But listen, the Holy Ghost is not seen except in the effects that he has upon your life. But there will be an effect upon your life, because ye shall be what? Holy. You shall be holy. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is holy. Because God is holy. It's real simple, isn't it? Very simple. But all right. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So here is the third person of the Godhead, again, as we would say it. And he is the one that is from God the Father and God the Son. And again, the language almost seems to say that, you know, one has greater rank than the other one, and yet that is not so. They are all three eternal. They're everlasting. They're all three of the same essence. There's nothing different about them except the office that they fulfill, if I can put it that way, again, in human language. But they've all been from eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, and all three have an equal part in the salvation of we, the people. Mystery. There is great mystery involved in it. And many things about God that we do not know at this point, at this juncture, but we know that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We know that His Word is true. We know that His Word is pure. We know that God cannot lie. And all those things and more like them are beyond sufficient for us to rest in what He says. And if He wants to give us understanding of it, then wonderful. Once again, sometimes we don't know what we ask for when we ask for things of God. And one of them sometimes is for understanding. Oh, we want to know everything about God. Well, do you understand that if whatever it is that God gives you understanding in, you're responsible in to that degree. You're responsible to that degree, not only to do, but also to be a witness to those things. And you will. The question again is not whether you will be a witness, but the question is, what is going to be the consequences of that witness? Here we did have the Holy Ghost. And we said last Lord's Day that He directs the work of God. Directs the work of God in you, right? And that's what He's saying here. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He directs the work of God in everything, but especially He directs the work of God in your life. The providence of God. He is the providence of God. Or perhaps it'd be better to say that He works out the providence of God. But there's nothing that God does that the Holy Ghost is not the power of it. He is the power of God. And then He also then gives us the strength, the direction, the unction. It all comes from the Holy Ghost. The one that dwells with you and abides in you. What an awesome thing it is to think that the Almighty Eternal God dwells within His people. And you know that He is there. How do you know that? Because He works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Whatever God wants, He gets. Who is going to deny him anything? The whole world, John says, lieth in wickedness, right? Wickedness. What does that mean, Bruce? What significance does that hold? Doesn't it mean that the whole world is against God? That they have joined together against God? They're not going to have him to rule over them. Just not going to have it. No way, form, or fashion. They're not going to have it. They're not going to keep his commandments. They don't love his commandments. They don't, because they don't love him. And they are not going to have this. And so they fight diligently. If you believe that you ought to keep the commandments of God, then they're going to fight against you and they're going to accuse you of everything that they can think of, and they're going to do everything to you that they can to destroy the Word of God, the commandments of God, the statutes of God, whatever you want to call them. I mean, they're going to be at a constant war against you one way or another. They're either going to be trying to get you to commit sin, or at the very least, they're going to try to get you to deny God. They want you to live your life according to the world, according to their understanding, according to their virtues, which are no virtues, but don't misunderstand me. But they're going to try to get you to walk with them instead of with God. But here's the good part. The Holy Ghost will not allow you to walk with them, at least not very far. For my sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and another they will not follow. All of us, every one of us, have from time to time gotten involved in ungodly things, even religion. But you're not there now, are you? Where are you? We're right here, aren't we? We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the person of God. We're talking about the Father. We're talking about the Son. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the God of the Bible. Don't care about all the rest of it, do we? We don't even care what man has to say. Unless it is according to what God has to say. Again, you know, we do so much striving. We want to get people saved. And it's a good thing to want to see people saved. But it's not a good thing for me to try to get people saved. what's good for me is to do what God says for me to do and to just preach the word. And I can assure everybody that what God ordains, even to the salvation of the last soul on earth, it's going to take place. Because the Holy Ghost is going to shepherd the whole thing. There's not anything that's going to happen that the Holy Ghost is not involved in. So, thirdly, He is our justifier. Romans chapter 15, in verse 16, he says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by who? By the Holy Ghost. You are an offering unto God. That's what God has chosen you for. You are as a sheep for the slaughter. Romans chapter 8, right? And we are again admonished by the apostle that by the mercies of God that we are to offer ourselves a living sacrifice. Yeah, which is our reasonable service. Why is that? Because He has chosen us to that grand privilege. Right? Very few are chosen, right? Many are called, but few are chosen. The way into heaven is straight and narrow, right? And few there be that find it. But the way into eternal destruction, now that's a way that's broad. Broad way. And many, many be that go therein. We know all these things, don't we? We already know them. But He is our sanctifier. The Holy Ghost is our sanctifier. Again, turn back to Matthew chapter 12 again. Let me read something here. Let's read something here that said, verse 31 again. Jesus says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." And then he says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruits." Now, we often refer to this verse of scriptures and others like it to judge whether or not a person is truly born of God, right? But it's not referring to you and to me here in this particular context, except in the fact that we will be like the one that produces us. In other words, going back again to the first of the Bible in Genesis, Cain brings forth Cain. So here he's saying, though, he's speaking in verse 33 of the Holy Ghost. When he says, either make tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, the tree, he said, is known by his fruit. The Holy Ghost is known by the fruit. Dearly beloved, you are known by your fruit, the fruit that you bring forth, but whatever that fruit is, if it is of God, it is holy and it is produced by the Holy Ghost. And that's called sanctification. That's true that you're justified by the blood of Christ. But you are sanctified by the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ. It is a perpetual work. It is forever. He will be with you forever. He sanctifies us. Who can say today of those of us that confess to be saved of God, who can say that your worship is perfect in yourself? Yeah.
You know, it's interesting what you say. And I don't hear anybody else say this, but it's put it right back to Genesis. Light brings forth life.
Right.
Nothing doesn't change, and it's so simple.
No. Yeah.
There, like so many things are in those first three chapters, they're so simple.
Yeah. It's the foundation for all the rest of the scriptures.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it explains why man is depraved and
yes.
why he needs to be regenerated.
Right.
Why he can't do it. But he was made that money.
Yeah. That God might show forth all of his glory. Well, there's a lot yet to know,
yes.
Isn't it?
It is.
So, here we go. Then, God, the Holy Spirit, directs the work of God. God, the Holy Spirit, is the power of God. And God, the Holy Spirit, is the sanctifier of his people. It cannot be any other way either. And the things that we're saying right now is the reason why it is impossible to be what the so-called Christian world is commonly referring to today as the carnal Christian. There is no such thing as a carnal Christian. the two terms are diametrically opposed to one another, because the Christian is in God, he is in Christ, he is indwelt of the Holy Ghost. And I shudder to think that someone would have the audacity to accuse God of being unholy. But isn't that what they're doing? When they say that a person can be born of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, and at the same time he can be ungodly?
Well, that's what so many people believe, is that Adam and Eve were holy, and that in their holiness they sinned. That's impossible.
Right, and I think my wife and I were talking about that the other day, and her thought was, well, if that's so, then they fell from grace. And that's true. But can you fall from grace? No. You can't fall from... I'm sorry? No. You can't fall from grace, because then the Holy Ghost would have to fall from grace. But all of this is, you know, it's not anything... Well, we're going to say it's not rocket science, is it? It really isn't rocket science. It's the simplicity of faith that is in and of the Lord Jesus. Well, I guess we'll have to shut it off there for the time being, but... I hope these things are beneficial to us, to make us more appreciate, to more reverence God, and to understand that it is all of Him. There's nothing of us except that which God Himself, by the Holy Ghost, works out in us. And yet, it is us. We are doing something, right? Are you worshiping today, or is that just the Holy Ghost worshiping? Yeah, you are worshiping. If you're one of His and you're here today, you are worshiping God. But it's because of the power and the sanctification of the Holy Ghost. No other worship is acceptable to God except that which is absolutely perfect. And the only way that can happen is for it to be sanctified by the Spirit, the Holy Ghost.